Our gospel lesson this morning is from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. We continue reading through the Sermon on the Mount, and so today we're reading the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? This is what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this time of worshiping, and we thank you for your presence here with us, blessing us, speaking to us. Lord, as we hear your words read and proclaimed, may the Holy Spirit open our hearts, our minds, all of our senses, so that we may experience you and hear your voice, to receive the strength, the courage, to be the salt and the light in our world. We thank you for this time, for this moment, and all the blessings you are pouring upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was hoping some children would be here so that I could explain all these things in the front. Do you know what these are? Okay, you could be a children. Okay. So, well, we're all children of God, so yes. Any idea what these are? These are salt? Are you sure they're all salt? Yeah? Anybody like to come and try? See it? Huh? One might be sugar. You want to come and try? Try it. Yeah. Take a pinch.
Nah.
No, it's not rock candy.
Salt. All salt.
Different layers.
salty.
Yeah. So they're all salt? Yes? Jesus said, you are the salt of the world, of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. What do you suppose he meant by that, that you are the salt? I think we all know, and as Barbara and Carol can tell you, very salty, right? These are the pink ones, as you probably know, these are Himalayan pink salt, rock salt. This fluffy, powdery, like snow-looking one, these are actually sea salt from Korea. And then this over here, this is kosher salt. And this is another kind of sea salt from Korea, but it was actually roasted in like 800 degrees Celsius heat. You know, apparently it kind of brings a different flavor, and also it does, you know, they say it's good for you. So, I have them to use. If you've ever been to like salt shops, now there are different salt shops popping up everywhere. You could go in and see salt in all different shapes, flavors, colors, right? There are actually black salt, right? That come from, I forget where. There are like a brownish shade salt. Yeah, you have so many varieties of the salt that come from all different parts of the world that we didn't even know that those things existed. And Jesus says, you're the salt. So definitely he's not just talking about white salt, right? He's talking about any salt from all over the world. One thing common there, like in these salt, regardless of what color, what shapes, whether you're rock salt, whether you're powdery salt, what color you are, regardless of where the salt came from, the common thing is that salt, by its presence, it makes an effect, right? A fact into whatever it's in its surroundings. So salt is effective, meaning that it has some kind of effect on things around it. So when you use salt to season things, you know, before the salt went in, it was kind of tasteless. When the salt goes in, it seasons the food, brings out the flavor. When the salt is put on fish or meat, what does it do? It stops the decaying process, right? Or it cures it. If the salt is put on ice and snow on the street, what does it do? It melts the ice and snow. So one common property of salt, regardless of where it came from, is that it is effective. It has an effect in its environment. So in that regard, what is Jesus saying to us when he says, you are the salt? What does that mean? See, oftentimes when people come to church, especially in our consumeristic culture, people come to church to receive. I want to feel good. This is what I want. I want programs for my children. I want. And so people come to church to get something. And then that's it. But if we hear what Jesus is saying, that you are the salt, it means that we as Christians, we come to church not just so that we can get something, but so that we can go out into the world and be an agent of transformation for the sake of good gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus also said, you are the light. And you do not put light under a bushel. You do not hide the light under a basket, but you put it up on high so that the light can illuminate. Again, the property of light is that it affects change all around it. Right? No matter how dark the house is, all you need is just one light, one candlelight, one flashlight to be able to see where you're going. So when Jesus says, you are the light, you are the salt, what he was saying is all of us as church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the power to affect change and transformation in our world, in our culture, in our community. All of you are already doing the work of salt and light. Many of you are being a light. Those of you who are engaged with our SOS ministry, serving our seniors, as you go and visit with those who are homebound, as you are running errands for them, as you are going there as companion, you are being the light, brightening up their days just a bit, even if it's just a bit. Those of you who are working in the hospice programs, you are going in and you are being the light of Christ to those who are in the last days of their life. There, all the works that you do, you are already being the salt and the light. But is that enough? Just because I do one thing, I'm good. You know, I guess that's not the kind of attitude that Jesus is asking for. It's like, do all the good you can for all the people you can. That's our Methodist motto. That's who we are. That we do everything that we can in our lives, through our work, through our volunteering, through our ministry, that we are being the salt and the light. I think many of us will say that maybe today is the time our world really needs the church to be the salt and the light. As we look around what is happening in our world, in our country, in all the world, I mean, you know, I'm afraid to even watch TV these days. I'm afraid to just, you know, watch the news, because there's just so much violence, there's so much hatred, there's so much fear in our world, and you wonder, you know, this is the time. Maybe God has brought us together as the church for a time such as this, so that we can be the salt and the light. There are many different ways for us to be the salt and the light. And in light of all the things that are happening in our country, our Council of Bishops have written a statement which they have asked to be read in all of our congregations today. And writing these statements, raising awareness, or even raising the voice of reason and voice of justice, sometimes that is being the salt and the light. So I'm going to read this letter from the Council of Bishops. And then with this letter, they have also put a prayer for all the United Methodist congregations to pray. And so we're going to pray that, and I will conclude my message. So it begins like this. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. These words, written by poet Emma Lazarus and posted on the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty, have for decades welcomed the foreigners to the shores of our land. They are words that have described the position of our country, a place that has welcomed the immigrant into a land of hope where a pathway to a better life could be found. The words, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, sound very similar to a message that the church has proclaimed for generations. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. The posture of our country in welcoming the foreigner has been compatible with the position of the church. But today, there is a disconnect between the position of the country and the mission of the church. Our president's recent executive order suspending the country's refuge assistance program and banning visas from 7 countries seems a far cry from the words, give me your tired and your poor. The bishops of the Northeastern jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church recently met in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, a region naturally equated with farmland, Pennsylvania Dutch, and the Amish. But these perceptions do not accurately describe this area. Lancaster is America's refugee capital. It has 20 times more refugees per capita than the rest of the United States. Having welcomed over 1,300 refugees since 2003. Within the city, there are several United Methodist churches that have historically modeled what it means to settle families and advocate for the immigrants in their midst. Just outside the walls of our hotel, a place where we are safe and comfortable, there are immigrants who have become disenfranchised and afraid. Even those who legally have been given a right to become a part of our country are now wondering if they are truly safe and welcome. Others have fears about travel and future employment. Still, others wonder when they will see friends and family who reside in another country. The huddled masses yearning to be free have all of a sudden become very alone and afraid. We write you today, the people that we serve in the northeastern section of our country, urging you to embrace the gospel message of providing rest for all who are weary in the midst of a land that has begun to build walls of division and discord. In response to executive orders from the president, it is our hope that you will once again embrace the mandate from Jesus to be in ministry to the least, the last, and the lost among us. This is the time for the church to do what it does best, love our neighbors as we ourselves have been loved. We urge all United Methodists to be intentional in providing a ministry of prayer and presence in our churches and throughout our communities that bear witness to our grace and love. We implore you to preach and proclaim an alternative rhetoric to the message of fear and anger that is being generated by those with power. We invite you to step forward and provide safe places of sanctuary for those who long for a place of care and advocacy. We believe that we have the opportunity and the call from God to welcome the tired, the poor, and the huddled masses with a message that simply says, come, and we will, in the name of Christ, give you rest. May it be so. If you please join me in the prayer from the bishops, let us pray. Creator God, before life began, you reached deep into the soil around the world to gather rich red clay, fertile black soil, white sand, tan and brown earth, and created us, people of every hue, every culture, and of every nation, and called us good. We praise you for making us different, yet through all of us, you pulse the same rich blood and breathe into us the same breath, your spirit. Redeemer God, forgive us when we allow color, culture, and national boundary to become the enemy of hospitality and dignity. Forgive us for stigmatizing the name immigrant. In the midst of life's complexities, let us never give up or give in to quick fixes, but to be the innovators, the creators following your example. Forgive us for forgetting that we have a rich lineage of immigrants. Sustainer God and protector of all, sustain and strengthen us for the journey ahead. Give wisdom and boundless love to the leaders of our nation and the leaders of our communities, schools, governments, and congregations. Give us the courage and humility to lead people towards security and justice, prosperity and righteousness, safe borders and safe passage. Bless those born within our borders and those who crossed our borders to find a new home. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is in the name of Christ that we pray and commit to welcoming the stranger, loving our enemies, and praying for those who persecute us. Amen. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light. And that is our purpose, our mission as the followers of Jesus Christ, as a church. And may the Holy Spirit continually empower us so that we can continue to be the salt and the light. Amen.